Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and once again, Happy New Year, L'Shana Tova to all our Jewish listeners. Happy Eid, Eid Mubarak to all our Muslim listeners as the two holidays coincide. I did confirm that I was right about the Jewish New Year. Whew. Can't get my own tradition wrong. 5771 is the year on the Jewish calendar as of yesterday. And on this Eid, the final day of Ramadan and this day before the September 11th anniversary, the controversy over the plan to build an Islamic community center on Park Place in Lower Manhattan continues. The site is two blocks from the edge of the World Trade Center site, about eight blocks from the site of the current mosque that Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf has run in the neighborhood of Tribeca since 1983. At this politically, religiously, and emotionally fraught time, the wife of Imam Rauf, Daisy Khan, who is also co-director of the planned center, sat down with me for an interview recorded for broadcast at this time. While the interview airs, you can start an online conversation about the topic at our New Politics website, It's a Free Country. Go to itsafreecountry.org. You will see our Daisy Khan interview as our top story there. Itsafreecountry.org. You can post your comments and reactions. I began by asking how she and her husband are feeling on this Eid, having suddenly become the center of a global controversy in the last few months.
Yeah, I think that the world would be completely overwhelmed. And I keep asking myself every morning that I come to work, how did we get involved in this? It is unprecedented. We're not public people. We're not public figures. And we find ourselves in the midst of the largest controversy of my life. But it's heartening to see the level of commitment that many people are showing and how many people have stepped forward to help us and support us during this crisis, including our multi-faith communities and the very tender young staff that we have that are, you know, finding themselves at the age of 25 in the midst of a major controversy, but they're stepping up to the plate. So I have to stay strong. We have to stay strong, not only for ourselves, but others who are really lending the support.
How about having your decades of interfaith work, your decades of advocating to Muslim Americans that they modernize and westernize, that all of that is disbelieved and discounted so easily in favor of a few lines taken out of context about American foreign policy or Israel or Hamas? Does it make you disillusioned?
It does. However, I think that I'm seeing this moment as a moment of truth will prevail. And ultimately, we're going through a difficult stage, not only individually as people, but really as a community. And I think that if you just look at the history of America, we are in the same place that the Jewish community was 70 years ago. It is a question of acceptance, and we have to try hard now to double our efforts to let people know what our track record is. And it is, our track record is largely been one of peace building and one of bridge building. And this is why so many supporters have come out in our favor, and this is why the rhetoric that people are using against us is not necessarily taking root at the deepest level.
Are you confident of that? You see the polls, several polls in the last week, showing how negatively people feel about locating the center at that location and about Islam in general.
Yeah, it just shows that there is widespread ignorance of Islam. And we have to, the whole Muslim community now has to work very hard to reach out to ordinary Americans who really have no interaction with Muslims, and their views are largely shaped by what they see on television. And so we have to double our efforts to reach out to people, like we have already started. For instance, we met with a 9/11 families group. 30 individuals came. In the beginning, they weren't very trusting of us. Once we spent 3 hours of working directly with them and dialoguing with them and answering all the very tough questions, about seven people left unconvinced, but the rest of them said, go ahead and do this if you want to. And some even said, you must do this.
What do you say to them? What do you think you said that convinced the 23 out of those 30 that this was a good idea, or at least an acceptable idea?
I think the most important thing that they realized was that American ideals are at stake, and that those ideals must prevail at all times. And the other thing that was really important for them to see is that we're actually on the same side of the fence. We are just as concerned about extremists, if not more, as they are. And we don't really want to have another 9/11. And in order to not have another 9/11, we need to work together. I think that is what moved and shaped the opinions of those who were on the other side of the fence, who decided that it was time for them to also not be against this project.
What does it feel then when people willfully ignorant of your work and the history of your work say that you're building a terrorist victory shrine? Because this is one of the phrases that is actually quite commonly out there.
Yeah, this just shows that people are linking the religion of Islam with the actions of the terrorists. And it's important for us Muslims now to make that de-link and to really clearly show that the religion of Islam and Muslims who practice Islam are not the same as the extremists who use Islam as a religion for their own political gain. And this is the job that we Muslims have to do. But also, I think it's un-American for people to lump an entire religious group, with the actions of a few extremists.
Do you think that in this political media climate, given the intense, minute scrutiny of your words, and a few words blown up here and there to be taken out of context, that it's getting harder for prominent Muslims to express their opinions publicly than it was before?
I think I have been heartened by the fact that Muslim community has acted very responsibly during this crisis. And many people have spoken out and are speaking out. And this is the fate of the Muslim community. Our entire future is at risk here. So many mosques have been under attack since this project was announced. And the Muslim community is taking this very seriously and taking a real pause. For instance, the Quran burning ceremony has so many negative implications if that goes forward. And I know the Muslim community in Gainesville, Florida, is actually interacting directly with the pastor to speak to him, to plead to his better self. And so everybody is stepping up to the plate. This is Ramadan, and our Ramadan has not been the same as previous Ramadans.
I'm sure not. So in the midst of all this red-hot glare, how are you celebrating Eid?
I'll tell you, it's not only us. The entire Muslim community is not only celebrating Eid with their families. Many are reaching out to interfaith families and interfaith gatherings. Some are going to vigils. I know people, instead of celebrating Eid tomorrow with their family, at 7 o'clock will be at a vigil in downtown and lower Manhattan. And I know personally, we have to spend time to rush to the prayers, and then there are, certain media appearances and certain commitments that we have made to go meet with, some 9/11 families. And we're going to a church to do a prayer in remembrance of 9/11 families. And all of this is happening on a day which is supposed to be a day of feast to be celebrated with your family.
And, of course, here we are with the confluence of Eid on 9/10, the day before 9/11. If the center was built, what do you think your programming would be like for this week or this confluence or the day of?
Oh, I know that our memorial would be open to every family member, that we would be having prayers in all different religions and cultures, the 9/11 family victims, because we do plan to have a memorial in the center, 9/11 memorial. I know that we would be talking about extremism and how we can combat it. I know there would have been an open door where people would be invited to come and break the feast and enjoy company with fellow Muslims. It would be a place which would replace fear with celebration. of our commonalities and our diversity.
Now, the Imam's op-ed in the Times this week said that more good than bad has come out of the controversy because the Muslim world can see Mayor Bloomberg and President Obama standing up for religious tolerance. You don't think it's more discouraging time to see so many politicians willing to use this as a wedge issue and to see the majority of the public opposed in the polls? Do you really think more good than bad is coming of this whole conflagration?
I do believe that, you know, there are certain conversations we have not had since 9/11. And this crisis points to that, that we need to have a conversation about how America changed as a result of the 9/11 tragedy, and how, what is its place in history now. And this is a conversation that, had we had this conversation before at a national level, because we went to war right away and we didn't really have the time to have this conversation, and we're still engaged in this war. And had we had this conversation, I think that the crisis would not have become what it has become. I do believe that the time is now for us to have this conversation and to bring some healing, much needed healing, to our nation, but also to the world.
I'm not sure I understand. What's the conversation other than the debate over whether it's appropriate to put this community center on Park Place in Lower Manhattan?
Oh, the conversation is really about the impact of 9/11 on the American psyche and its place in history. And when people talk about pain and sensitivity, we haven't healed from this wound at the individual level, but also as a nation. And this is a conversation we need to have because the 10th anniversary is approaching, and it's important for us to take this tragedy and make it into something that is hopeful for the future, because there are future generations that we have to worry about, and it's the health of our nation that we have to worry about. And this is where the silver lining is, because this conversation has now surfaced.
Well, the Imam's op-ed also says the support that you've gotten undermines the ability of radicals to recruit young Muslims. Is that the sense that you get from American Muslims, including young American Muslims that you know, that they see this whole episode as likely to dissuade young Muslim Americans from radicalism rather than to alienate them and make them more vulnerable?
You know, when you feel that your faith is persecuted and you feel alienated and you feel that you're not accepted as an equal in your own country, some people do fall prey to radicalization, and this is a real concern. We have seen somebody like Faisal Shahzad, a classic example of a person that can fall prey to extremist recruiters. I know that young American Muslims who are civically engaged are very concerned about that. You know, people like Eboo Patel, who's spent his entire career, he's very young, and Reza Aslan, and these are people who are real advocates for pluralism in this country. They're talking about the very ideology that the extremists hate. Extremists promote exclusion. Whereas Islam has always been inclusive and has always been pluralistic, which is what is, you know, the two things that the United States and Islam share. And I know that is what we need to focus on. And a center like this would celebrate the pluralism, not only within Islam, but also within America. And the extremists, that is a blow to the extremists.
So what are you doing today to fight cynicism among young Muslims when they see what's happening to you and your husband, and they see the backlash and how easy it was to trigger this backlash in America over a peaceful project? What do you say to young Muslims who may be listening, who may be getting very cynical about America just in the last few weeks?
I think that the one thing that everybody knows they have to do now, and this is what I'm speaking to them about, and this is what they're telling me, is that they have to shape their destiny. And the only way they can shape their destiny is to get civically engaged. I know many young Muslims who have, you know, careers, professional careers, who are speaking on television right now, going on Fox, exposing themselves, even though they have, other careers, they're volunteering their services night and day, writing blogs, talking about the importance of making sure that alienation does not take root within their own community. And, we created a program called Muslim Leaders of Tomorrow, and this is a group of young Muslims who are men and women between the age of 20 to 45 that we promote this value-driven leadership that is civically engaged and rooted in their community. But, not only that, but also to show that you can be equally American and you can be equally Muslim. And there is no conflict between the two. And you have to be loyal to both and you have to fight for both at the same time.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We will continue our interview with Daisy Khan, co-founder of the planned Lower Manhattan Islamic Community Center, in a minute. I'll ask her reaction to the hate mail and death threats she's been getting and more. In the meantime, you can post your reactions and join a conversation about the larger issues at our new politics website, itsafreecountry.org. More with Daisy Khan in a minute. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We continue now with Daisy Khan, co-founder of the planned Lower Manhattan Islamic Community Center. In an interview we pre-recorded, I asked how she's dealing with all the hate mail and other expressions of hate that she's been getting over her plan for the Lower Manhattan Center.
I would say that if I was only getting hate mail, I would have gone into despair. But for every hate mail that comes in, there are beautiful emails that come in. And let me just read you one. I'm not Muslim, but simply an American who wants to see New York and Ground Zero become a symbol to the world of religious tolerance and freedom. Please don't move the site. Many otherwise good-hearted Americans seem to mistakenly associate 9/11 with Islam. And many otherwise good-hearted folks in the Middle East seem to believe America is anti-Islam. Your center will change these impressions. And this is what gives me hope when I see these kinds of emails.
This is Eid and this is Rosh Hashanah. You said before that you see the Muslim community in America in the place that the Jewish community was 70 years ago. How do you see the parallel?
The Jewish community was a minority community, and their struggle has been the same, one of acceptance. And many in the Jewish community have given us real strength and support during this difficult time. The Jewish community, in my opinion, has really stepped up to the plate because they have really stood up for social justice, not only from within their own faith, but also because they see parallels of what we're going through. And they're reminding their fellow co-religionists that it's unacceptable to marginalize the Muslim community in this country because this is exactly what happened to us.
70 years ago would have been 1940, just as Jews were being herded into concentration camps in Europe. You don't mean to make a comparison at that level.
No, I'm talking about Jewish community in America taking root here in the sense that they had different synagogues that were ethnically based synagogues. You know, there was a German synagogue, there was a Polish synagogue. And similarly, the Muslim community is also in some ways going through the same institutional building process. We have mosques that are Palestinian mosques, Albanian mosques. You know, we have what they call feel-good mosques or homesick mosques where people congregate along ethnic lines and national lines. And how do you bring this diversity of the Muslim community together and build institutions? Our center was going to bring that diverse Muslim community together so that we could really create the beginning of what American Islam is going to look like in the future.
My guest is Daisy Khan, wife of Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, developers of the Community Center for Lower Manhattan that may or not actually wind up there. Let me ask you about some of the quotes by your husband that are making the rounds, leading some people to conclude he's a wolf in sheep's clothing, another phrase that's being frequently heard now in some media circles. In saying that America has killed more innocent Muslims than Al-Qaeda has killed non-Muslims, that may be numerically true, but But Rick Lazio, the gubernatorial hopeful, said on my show, it reflects a moral equivalence between the United States and Al-Qaeda, which makes the imam look like a radical. What should people think about that?
I think his record speaks for himself. He's been a peace builder. He is also an intellectual. And I would say that people have to look at his overall record. And he has...
Can you address the particular quote there, or would you say it the same way in pointing out the foreign policy context that America has killed more innocent Muslims than Al-Qaeda has killed non-Muslims? Again, it may be numerically true, but it seems to pose a moral equivalence. Sounds to many people like he's posing a moral equivalence between the United States and Al-Qaeda.
Yeah. I don't know in what context that quote was made. It would be better to really ask him. And I know he would love to come on your show.
And we will have him on again, of course. Another one, if I might. In a 2005 speech, again, making the rounds like wildfire online, the imam is quoted about the Middle East, saying, in a true peace, it is impossible that a purely Jewish state of Palestine can endure. In a true peace, Israel will, in our lifetimes, become one more Arab country with a Jewish minority.
Yeah, I think that's another question. I believe that was a letter that he wrote to the New York Times in 1987.
Meaning he doesn't hold the position anymore?
I think that it's best to ask him because I didn't know him then.
And your name for the center, again, very out there in the public conversation, Cordoba House or Cordoba Initiatives. Critics say Cordoba historically signifies a city that was conquered militarily by a Muslim army where, in the name of Islam, a mosque was built on the site where a church used to be. So the whole name is a symbol of Islamic triumph over other religions.
Well, you know, that has also been taken completely out of context. The Cordoba that we were talking about is a Cordoba where Jews, Christians, and Muslims coexisted peacefully for many, many centuries and created the Golden Age. And Jewish scholars were working side by side with Muslim scholars and brought about the Renaissance. And so we wanted that as a backdrop to prove to people that this kind of coexistence has happened in the past, and it has led to human flourishing. That is the Cordoba we're talking about.
On Larry King, the imam said, if you move from the Park Place location, it will help the radicals to recruit. Is that really true? If it brings a kumbaya resolution, if you will, in many Americans' eyes, won't that show that Muslims are successfully integrating here? And it would hurt the recruitment efforts by the radicals?
I think I would rather that we really do an analysis of what the imam is saying. You know, if the Quran burning goes ahead, you will see a certain kind of reaction from the Muslim world. And that is what he's talking about.
But that's the Quran burning. And I personally blame the media for taking one obscure wacko pastor and blowing him up into this superstar, possibly to inflame. So that's in a different category, I think. But the imam was saying on Larry King that if the center moves, separate from, you know, the Quran burning, if the center moves, if you change the location, if you succumb to the pressure, it would help the radicals to recruit.
This is something that the intelligence people are telling us because they have been watching the radical sites. And there's a lot of chatter going on in the radical sites. In fact, some of the radical sites have said this is the greatest recruiting tool that we'll have. So I think he's just referencing that.
Explain why that would be.
Because there's a general sentiment in the Muslim world that America, you know, is really anti-Islam. And it's not a sentiment that most Muslims share. It's mostly the sentiment that the extremists have. And we, as American Muslims, want to ensure that that kind of sentiment doesn't take root because we have enjoyed our freedoms in this country, and we are happy to be in this country, and we can practice our religion freely, and we don't want to give the extremists a recruiting tool when there's no need for it, because we have close to, 1,500 mosques around the country, which have coexisted in their neighborhoods, and there have largely been no issues. But this is an area we don't want to go into. Number one, it's an issue of our right to the freedoms that we have. Islam is an American religion. It is accepted as an American religion. There are 6 to 8 million Muslims in this country, and it's important that we do not allow the extremists to use this one incident as a recruiting tool.
The imam said on Larry King that the radicals on both sides will be emboldened if the center moves. The radicals on both sides. Does that make a moral equivalence between, say, Al-Qaeda and Newt Gingrich, Bin Laden and Rick Lazio?
I think it would be better if you asked the imam that question, because I can't really speak for what he was.
How will you raise money after all this for the $100 million capital campaign if you stay? Are you concerned that money from many American sources will dry up if you don't move the center further away, whereas if you do move, you look like the people of good faith who rose above the fray, and more money might flow your way?
I think that this is a question that we really can't answer right now, because we have still to recruit a board, and once the board comes on, the board will be making the decisions on how to pursue fundraising. We're not at that stage yet. It's too early.
So you don't have a judgment right now. Are you assessing at all the fundraising implications of staying or moving?
No. I think the biggest right now, it's too early for us to do that. And, in a nonprofit, the board makes a lot of the decisions, and we're not at that stage yet.
So what comes next? It sounded, even from the imam's interview on Larry King, like there are still talks going on about possibly relocating the center. How will you decide? When will you decide?
We are meeting many people over the course, over the next month or so. And we'll be, making it's important for us to meet with people, as many people. He's just returned from his trip. He hasn't had enough time to engage with people. And I think that's what he was saying.
Daisy Khan, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Daisy Khan, co-founder of the planned Lower Manhattan Islamic Community Center, in an interview pre-recorded for this time.